We're going to go on to an example of one of our latest pieces of work, which is a report on concentrated solar power. And we're particularly delighted that the people who played a very important part in this very key report are going to join us this evening and tell us about how it came about and what are the key points that come out of it. Professor Robert Pitts-Powell is the professor at the Technical University of Aachen and director of the Institute for Solar Research in Cologne. He was an official science communicator during the German Year of Science and the Future of Energy in 2010. And he became chair, I'm very pleased to say, of ESAC's Working Group on Concentrated Solar Power in March 2010. And tonight, he launches the report. Robert.
Thank you very much, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. This report tries to summarize the current state of the art of technology of concentrating solar power, and it's based on existing material on scientific papers. The report was put together by a working group of members that have been nominated by the European academies. We were very pleased that we also have participants from the Egyptian and the Israeli Academy that supports our work. In order to summarize this report, I would like to work now for the next 20 minutes on the following key questions. First of all, briefly explain what is concentrating solar power. We also call it CSP. Then to come to the subject of the value of CSP electricity and talk about the markets and costs. And of course come to the important subject of the cost reduction potential and the potential role that this technology can play in Europe as well as in the Middle East and North African countries. We call it the MENA region. Of course, there are a couple of challenges I would like to point out very clearly and come at the end to the political recommendation that the group gives to the policymakers. Finally, summarize the potential benefits for Europe. Well, concentrating solar power, to explain it very simply, is a conventional power cycle that is not powered by fossil fuel or nuclear energy, rather than by concentrating collectors. So how can this work? These concentrating collectors consist of mirrors that are formed in a specific way to concentrate the radiation either on a focal line or on a focal spot. You see here these structures consist of mirrors, either curved or flat, which focus the energy either on a tube, on a focal line, in a center, or on a central point. Essential to the system is not only the mirror, but also the steel structure, which has to be very rigid and very precise in order to have a certain focus point. The other essential component is an absorber tube where the heat transfer fluid is flowing through. This absorber tube consists also of a glass envelope in order to suppress heat losses. In the other case, the energy is transferred to a central point on a tower, where all the energy is converted and collected to heat and is provided to the power plant. So let's talk about the value of the electricity that can be produced. Typically, such collector fields, if they are positioned at a very good solar site, can provide about 2,000 full load hours per year of heat to the power cycle. So these 2,000 hours are when the sun is shining. What can be done in order to change the amount or the time of delivery? One option would be to add an electrical storage after the power generation system. These electrical storage would have two effects. It costs additional money and it will have an efficiency lower than one. So the cost of this storage system is not only its price, rather than the energy lost by the system because additional production capacity has to be established. What can we do in concentrating solar power systems? The interesting option here is to add a thermal energy storage that collects the heat. This is a big container, very much comparable to a hot water tank that is used in domestic hot water systems, like in your basement, so that you can have a shower when the sun is not shining. In this case, the difference is that this container does not contain water. Rather than a molten salt at a much higher temperature, 400 to 500 degrees centigrade, and it's much, much bigger. Due to this large surface to volume ratio, the heat loss of such a container is very low. So about 95% of the energy that is put into the storage system can be extracted. The other aspect which is very important is when you count for these systems here, you have twice as many collectors, but you have also twice as much time that the energy is provided to your system. So two times as much energy, but not necessarily two times the same cost. The collectors are double, they cost twice as much, but the power block has not been duplicated. You only have to add a thermal storage container. In that way, you have an option to design very flexibly a system from peak load to base load supply, whatever the market is desiring, at almost similar electricity costs. So adding flexibility to such a CSP system in terms of providing energy per demand is not associated to significant extra costs. The other aspect is that the thermal storage, of course, is high efficient shift of energy supply. So you collect part of the energy during the time of the day when the sun is shining and move it to the evening hours when the system, the overall grid network, requires a high amount of energy, electricity. This overall characteristic is called dispatchable energy supply. And this is a very important characteristic of CSP systems that differ from other renewable systems like wind or photovoltaic. So let's try to summarize what is the value of CSP electricity. We have, of course, on the one hand side, like in all other electricity systems, the kilowatts of electrical energy that is provided. On the other hand, we have this dispatchable aspect, the flexibility to meet peak capacity needs. In addition to that, the power plant can also provide services to operate to support the grid operation, like reactive power or control power to the grid. So when we want to understand what is the value of these components, we cannot do it on a power plant level. The power plant itself cannot tell us, but we have to understand the overall system. It depends on the electricity system and the kind of electricity mix that we have. But we can clearly state that the value of storage increases as more variable renewable systems are on the system. That means when we want to go to a more renewable energy system with a higher fraction of fluctuating renewable energy resources, this kind of value will significantly increase. All three components of this energy can have a significant value. And I think one of the important points is that the subsidy schemes need to reflect this kind of aspect, and they don't do at the moment in many countries and in many cases. So today, you get a price for the electricity just per kilowatt hour and not reflecting any needs, whether the grid or the consumer does really have a desire. There's also one point that CSP systems can make use also of fossil fuel energy. It's very easy to use some percentage of fossil fuel energy in order to overcome the situation, the very rare situation, when the storage is empty and the sun is not shining. So by just a few percent of fossil fuel energy, you can achieve the very high likelihood, the very same capacity factor as a completely full conventional power plant to supply the capacity. This, as a transition technology, should also be considered here. So let's take a brief look to today's markets. Parabolic trough technologies, and you see here a couple of plants, 50 megawatt scale size, like in Spain or in the United States, are today commercial and many of them are built. This is the most mature technology, and this is due to the fact that this technology already has been established in the 1980s in the California Mojave Desert. They are operating there for more than 25 years now. So there's a very good experience, and for the banks, this is a very low risk in the likelihood of the technology, in the maturity of the technology. But there are also new projects coming up, new concepts like tower systems or Fresnel collectors that have the chance to have a better efficiency, to have a lower cost, and they may run faster towards cost reduction. We also see a couple of commercial projects with these technologies entering into the market today. How big is this market? Compared to other renewables like PV or wind, it's relatively small. You see here the main countries which are currently have CSP technology operating or under construction are Spain and the United States. All in all, about 3 gigawatts of capacity. But you see, many countries have started and considering to go into these technologies. We see projects in the MENA countries, in Australia, in India, in China, and in the rest of the world. So obviously, the characteristics and the benefits of the technology are found to be valuable, to be considered in sunbelt areas of the world. Let's come to the critical question of the cost of the electricity. And this is critical because the cost of the electricity depends very much on the assumptions you put in there. So it's very difficult to get figures given under the same assumptions. What we did, we took data from the US Department of Energy based in 2010 about installation costs and operation costs of different technologies and applied the same financial boundary conditions in order to come up with first estimates of a reasonable cost. With that, we come to cost figures of about 18 cents per kilowatt hour for concentrating solar power, which can be compared to pulverized coal of 7 cents, estimated under the same assumptions, to be clear here, mid-load 9 cents, gas combined cycle mid-load 6 cents, wind onshore 8.5 cents, wind offshore 50.3 cents, and photovoltaic 21.2 cents. Let's discuss this a bit, in particular the competition with other technologies. The levelized cost of electricity for onshore wind is less than half that the cost of CSP. And the levelized cost of electricity per PV has been slightly higher in 2010, but it has dropped below CSP in 2011. So just from the levelized cost, there is no real argument for the technology, but as I mentioned before, PV and wind are not dispatchable, and cheap electric storage is not available today. The value of dispatchability depends on the system and is mostly not reflected in the revenue schemes, which led to the situation that this technology is not considered as under the same boundary conditions as the others here. Integration of large shares of renewables like wind on PV, of course, will increase the value of dispatchability. In other words, we cannot solve the whole problem just with wind and PV. So there is a need for dispatchable supply. CSP may therefore complement or enlarge the shares of wind PV in a low carbon energy system. It may enable the technology. Well, let's come to the question of how to reduce the cost. The estimates which I present here are based on detailed engineering studies, several studies which we have reviewed. They consistently come to the message that mass production and scaling of the components, because this is a relatively young technology, there's still some potential on that, may range in the order of 25% to 30%, whereas technology improvements are in the same order, 20% to 30%, and they are based on some breakthroughs, in particular in front surface mirrors with respect to their lifetime, heat transfer fluids for higher temperatures, with respect to stability and cost, advanced solar power cycles, adaptation to a solar design, and storage systems, adaptation to higher temperature and other heat transfer flows. With these, a levelized cost of electricity cut by half, that means lower than 9 cents per kilowatt hour, appear to be realistic based on technology concepts that are already realized in lab scale today. The rate of cost reduction depends very much on the learning rate, that means how fast does the cost reduction come down with the doubling of the production capacity, as well with the growth rate, how much more facilities or plants are installed next year compared to this year. These figures are not very transparent. Compared to other renewables, cost of CSP technology is not very transparent. And the authors have estimated a cost break-even based on their own assumptions with fossil fuel based on these numbers between 2021 and 2031. But we strongly recommend to take a closer look, make this kind of costs more transparent in the market. We also think that 9 cents per kilowatt hour for CO2-free dispatchable grid power is anticipated to be competitive in some markets in the year 2025. So let's discuss a bit the role of CSP in Europe and the MENA region. You see here the different resources available from biomass, geothermal, wind, hydropower, and solar. It's obvious that, of course, the solar is available mainly in the south and the North African region. But still, it's not negligible there. When you estimate the CSP potential in southern Europe only using unused flat areas, then you can come up with 1,800 terawatt hours, which is equivalent to half of the EU consumption. So this could already be a significant contribution. When you consider the MENA region, it's more than 600,000 terawatts. So it's enormous. It's almost inexhaustible if you see this kind of figures here. So it may make a lot of sense to consider synergies providing solar energy also from the MENA region, not only for their growing capacity in these countries, but rather than by combination with new high voltage DC lines to complement the fluctuating renewable energy resources in Europe. There are some favorable factors. The size and the quality of the solar resource in Northern Africa, of course, is much better, and this is directly proportional to the cost of the electricity. The additional solar resource significantly overcomes the additional cost for the transport. We also have a rapidly increasing indigenous demand in these countries. And of course, there is a relatively close proximity to Europe and its appetite for CO2-free power. But in particular, CSP technology has a high level of local supply share of CSP technology that can easily raise up to 60%. So for these countries trying to establish a local value chain, it's an important and maybe more attractive technology compared to others. Of course, there are some issues. Investment conditions and ownership arrangements are more complicated in the MENA countries like in Europe. Subsidy schemes and continuity of initiatives have to be cleared. And also the question, is there any conflict between export and home use? With respect to the land available, there's enough for everything. But of course the question is, where are the priorities and who is going to pay for what? So, trying to summarize, what are the essential challenges that make CSP technology a significant part is, on the one hand side, the cost reduction. Parity with fossil fuel energy in the next 10 to 15 years are a must in order to become a valid option in the energy mix. Second point, the grid infrastructure and the market mechanisms to integrate large fractions of CSP in Southern Europe and MENA are required. And of course, an appropriate political and economic boundary conditions in MENA to support the long-term investments in low-carbon technologies need to be established. This is also a question of political arrangements. So let's try and summarize some of these arguments in some of the recommendations. First of all, when we speak about incentive schemes, then we think they should reflect the true value of electricity to the grid and not only value the kilowatt hour levelized cost of electricity. On the other hand, we need to ensure transparency of cost data in order to make sure that any kind of incentive does not oversell. And of course, cost incentive schemes need to progressively reduce over time or with the market volume in order to have a clear incentive for the industry to implement their cost reduction. Talking about R&D, it's important to ensure that new technology progresses rapidly from the laboratory via demonstration to a commercial phase, and that we have to implement an integrated approach. One has to make aware that a CSP technology is different from a photovoltaics module. This can be researched in the laboratory and then duplicated hundreds of thousands of times. In this case, we have a significant risk in the scale-up of the technology. So going through several large-scale demonstration steps until we come to a 50 or 150 megawatt power plant needs a consistent and continuous development path. The development of market incentivation models that favor cost reduction by innovation over cost reduction by mass production of state-of-the-art of technology is also an important step. So just doing the 120th parabolic trough with the same technology 10% cheaper is maybe a good step and important, but it would be even more important to have a new technology enabled in the market and to incentivize this kind of development. When we're talking about the renewable energy mix, we were not really able to quantify specifically what is the value of the different components of the CSP electricity. And therefore, there is a need for system simulation studies to evaluate the long-term potential, not only on CSP, but on the renewable energy mixes in the different markets. And this will be definitely depending on the country and will be different for Europe and for the MENA countries, for example. And of course, the support of the technology development based on the longer term potential. One essential step, in particular, when we're talking about the electricity generation, the cooperation with the MENA, is the transformation process. This is a complex thing, the cooperation with MENA countries with electricity exchange. It does not only cover economic aspects, but also technical, political, and socio-economic factors that need to be put into place, and a long-term roadmap needs to be established here. We think that a direct, significant co-funding, co-funding and financing in the order of billions of euros by the EU as part of the neighborhood policy to renewable energy systems, and CSP as one of the options, in the MENA region is required when we really want to make this activity going forward. And this, of course, has to be combined with additional capacity building activities, as there is, of course, the need for it. The transmission capacity needs to be strengthened, and in particular, in the longer term, high voltage direct current connections between MENA and Europe needs to be established. So what can we estimate if this all happens? We think that CSP has the potential to become a zero-carbon, low-cost, dispatchable energy supplier for Southern Europe and the MENA region. CSP can potentially reduce the amount of still expensive and inefficient electric storage systems like pumped hydro, CIS, power-to-gas, and other options which are currently discussed. Probably cannot avoid everything, but it can reduce it, and therefore reduce the cost of the transformation. CSP has a high local share in creating local values and jobs, and therefore can contribute to the development, in particular in the MENA countries. Cooperation with MENA could accelerate global climate protection and stimulate sustainable economic development as part of the neighboring policy, helping stabilizing these countries. And finally, transnational high-voltage DC interconnections are likely to reduce the overall transformation cost, as it's cheaper to generate the solar energy where the sun is shining. Thank you very much for your attention.